Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Welcome back, everybody.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Stephen.
And together we're Paul and Stephen.
And we're living Villa Capelli. We're living at Villa Capelli. So, wait, what's the first order of business? The first order of business I want to talk about. Oh, before I forget, just because I'll probably forget later, is our sponsor. It's audible.com. We can get a free audio book and a free 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/Capelli, and you'll have 180,000 titles to choose from and tons of great audio books. It's really cool.
What's the website again?
audibletrial.com/Capelli.
Cool.
And I'll take it right there. It says that, and hey, it's a free trial, so you know,
go for
nothing
it.
To lose for it. Yeah. All right. Before we get to, hopefully, welcome to all of our new listeners. I think we do have new listeners. I don't know if everybody knows. The last podcast kind of exploded all over the internets.
The internets.
Yes.
The webs.
So on that note, we're going to do something similar this time. Another surprise episode for Paul. Hmm. This is a list.
This is Stephen's new game now. Surprise Paul.
It made him obviously touched the nerve. No, that wasn't what touched the nerve, but it made it entertaining. For some reason, that last podcast, if you missed it, go back and listen to it. It was huge.
And it did touch the nerve with some people.
Oh, my gosh. And people, guys, we are two numbskulls with microphones. So it's just our...
We actually have two microphones.
Exactly. It's just our opinion. People got really passionate about it. I guess it was because it's obviously food. The title of the episode, if you don't know, was 14 Don'ts for Italian Food in Italy. Some people didn't understand that we were talking about
in Italy.
They got very upset that
there's a big difference between in Italy and Italian American.
Exactly. And everybody's family is different. Their traditions all over the place. We were definitely talking generalities.
Right. Which is also why we often say that there is really no such thing as Italian cuisine.
I know.
Because of all the regions. All the regions have their own dishes that they make, own favorite things.
Exactly. But then people were writing in, which is fine, but they were talking in absolutes too. No, that's not the way it is at all. I'm like, okay, I'm just telling you. That's our experience.
The biggest one, I think, was spaghetti and meatballs. People, Italian-Americans, refuse to believe that spaghetti and meatballs is Italian.
But I think some people said, and I don't know if it's true, they said some places in Sicily, they have, like, you know, they've, with their family, an actual family here.
Right, but we also don't know. It's the same thing with pizzas. You know, no one really knows. Did pizza start in the States? Did it start in Naples? Mm-hmm. Did it start in the States, come back to Naples? Same thing with spaghetti and meatballs.
That's
true. With so many Sicilian immigrants to Italy, you know, did that come back later?
That's true. I don't know. I don't know either.
Any food
anthropologists
out there?
We should get
food apologists.
That's what Logan should just become. That way he can work for us.
Yes.
All right. So the theme of this podcast, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun,
are travel tips for Italy. So it's going to be a list of travel tips. It's written by a really, really popular blogger.
Uh-huh. Who's that?
Stephen Crutchfield.
Oh, geez. All of a sudden,
my
he's
gosh.
Popular.
If we could only get him on the podcast,
I
it'd
know.
Be amazing.
Now, I heard he's like not all that.
All right. Well, you could. That's why this is a surprise. Paul doesn't know the list, so he can either. This could be a really, really.
I'm going to jump all over this list.
I was going to say, this could be a really big episode for the drinking game. If you guys don't know the drinking game, if you're new to the podcast, every time Paul corrects me, you take a drink.
As I will too.
Yeah, yes.
Because Stephen drives me to drink.
Exactly.
Manhattans in winter, martinis in summer.
Oh, that's one of the tests at the very end. If we get that far, I don't know how far we're going to get. So,
okay.
The first one I have.
How many are there?
I'm not going to say because I don't know if we're going to get. If I want to, I can save some for later.
Okay.
I'm just wait. Let me check my levels here. You're fine. Okay. The first one is my tip is come in the off season, because some people, you know, a lot of people. Obviously, if you're traveling with children, it's much harder to do this. But the top seasons being June, July, and August. But I will say Italy is amazing in April, May, and or September and October.
Yes.
And you're going to miss all the tourists. It's going to be, the weather is going to be so much nicer, especially if you're coming in August. August can be brutal, especially in the South.
And a lot of Italians go on vacation, so you'll find a lot of things that are closed, actually.
Exactly.
One of the great things about the off-season, first of all, if you don't like really, really hot weather, the off-season is a better time to come. But also, the off-season is really when all the really great food and produce is available. Because in the summer, especially down here in Puglia, it gets so hot, nothing really grows. Mm. So we've always said that, like, the fall, beginning, you know, middle of September all the way through middle of November, is really a second spring here in Puglia. It's when everything comes back to life because, you know, the heat just kills everything. So if you want really fresh produce and a lot of new stuff that's coming out, springtime and fall time is the time to come.
Yes.
Even that's when the prosciutto is done. That's when the pancetta is ready.
That's when the orecchiette with the broccoli rabe
is a winter or spring thing. Mm. Yeah, the wine, of course, wine harvest is in September, and you can't drink the wine, the new wine, I believe by law. I know it's true in France with the Beaujolais Nouveau until St. Martin's Day, like November or something or other. I don't know exactly what day it is. But that's when you're allowed to drink the new wine. So, you know, all the way through the middle, end of November. And then November and December is when is our olive season.
Yes.
That's when all the fresh oil, if you want to come and taste oil right out of the...
Or when you help pick the olives. You can go home with your own personalized
bottle or tin of olive oil with your name on it. You can come here and we can show you how to do that.
It's fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Number two. I have come more than once or for an extended period of time, meaning 2 or 3 weeks. Why I say this, my reasoning behind this is because, especially if you're coming for the first time, this is why I say come more than once, you probably want to hit, obviously, the big attractions like Rome, Pisa, Florence, because...
Venice.
Yes. Those are the ones that are in your mind of what a romantic Italy is. I mean, that's what you've seen in the movies or in television and everything else. So I think you probably want to hit those, or if you don't, you might be slightly disappointed to some degree. But on the other note, there's so much more to see. Especially, like, again, we'll push Puglia. Puglia is huge and amazing and beautiful. So much to see. And other places like Sicily, you probably would have a very hard time getting from there.
We have to spend more time in Sicily.
I know.
We got to go down there.
I've never been.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. But it's just all these other places that it's hard to get to if you also want to hit those other places.
The one place I've never been to is Calabria.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I'm dying to go to Calabria.
I know.
They're supposed to have beautiful beaches, amazing food, especially if you like spicy stuff. The only problem is they say that there's a lot of mob activity. But, I think that all things with the mob, if you just keep your nose clean, everything will be fine.
So that's my second tip.
So what was the tip, though?
Basically, no, come more than once or for an extended period of time.
Oh, okay. So you can see more of it, yes.
Exactly. So if you come for just a week, obviously, again, hit Rome, Pisa, Florence, Venice, those kind of places. But then try to come back or come for an extended period of time because there's just so much to see. Those other places are beautiful, but the other places are more authentic and more magical, I think.
Yeah, but Rome, Florence, Venice, they're big, huge tourist attractions.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, there's nothing wrong with tourism, obviously. But that's one side of Italy that, is well-known and a lot of art and a lot of shopping, a lot of stuff that a lot of people love. But as Stephen was saying, if you come for an extended period of time, then you can get to see the other Italy, which is the more rustic, really is kind of like the more movie-like Italy.
More authentic. More, like, you'll be living like an Italian. Well, not like a tourist.
More old world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. My tip number three is skip the big bus tour packages.
To see Italy. A lot of the bus tour companies are going to hate you.
Well, they're not sponsoring the show, so if they're sponsoring the show, that'd be different. No, at least in my, I honestly, full disclosure, have not experienced one of these personally. We have had friends that have, basically, they stayed with us. I don't know if the Mox listened to the podcast. I doubt it, but hi, Mox. They came and stayed with us, and they said they only stayed with us.
They were from Texas, right?
Yep. They only stayed for a couple of days, but they said those 2 days were by far the best days they had compared to the rest of the trip, because the rest of the trip, you had to have your bags outside your door at 5 a.m. You had to be downstairs at this time. It was all very regimented and dictated to them. And while, I mean, some of that is good, they just felt like they never rested. It was always something to do. It was always something, boom, 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 boom.
And you never really get to meet the people.
Exactly. They didn't get to, like, just, you know, they loved when Mama Letta and Uncle Nino came over. And they got to, like, meet some real Italians and just laugh over the table, even though they couldn't even understand each other. Except for when Mama Letta curses in English.
Shut up. And, you know, the curses that the older people down here, the English bad words that they know, they actually remember them from World War II, when the Allies were here in southern Italy. So everything from, you know, the Americans and the Brits, they remember a lot of these words that all of a sudden come streaming back to them. What is it now? 70 years later, 75 years later.
It's crazy.
It was pretty funny, actually. Yeah. And shut up was one of the mildest ones.
That's how Mama would say, shut up. So I avoid those guys if you can. I mean, again, there's a place for it, but I don't feel like Italy is the place for it. I feel like you would, even if you're not super adventuresome, you can find plenty of people and plenty of help. I mean, they're used to tourists everywhere in Italy, and you can find your own way, and it'd be so much more enjoyable.
Do a bus tour of, like, Moscow.
Yeah,
or Russia.
I mean,
in general,
I don't know. At least in my experience, I just wouldn't recommend it. This kind of goes in the number four, leads off of number three here, which is travel with friends and use sites like VRBO, HomeAway, and Flipkey. Guys, I don't know if you're familiar with these sites. Basically, VRBO is vacation rental by owner and owned by HomeAway. And Flipkey is through TripAdvisor. Basically, it's owners like us who rent out their homes to travelers. You're going to find much better deals than you ever will in a hotel. You're going to have usually access to a kitchen, so you can, like, cook your own stuff. You can really go to the markets, find food, come back and cook it yourself.
Especially if you're coming with a group of friends.
It's just so much better than a bunch of group of friends, like, let's meet in the lobby at 5 o'clock and do this.
Let's stay at the Sheraton.
You can kind of, like, you can have a really great vacation this way. So
and you get to meet more local people.
Exactly.
Do your own shopping, food shopping, which is the most fun of all.
And it's a little more, again, to me, a little bit more real than just, like, going to a hotel and being kind of secluded from the life. You'd be kind of come ingrained into the life. So my recommendation. Number five is a pretty obvious one probably for most people, but maybe not. Don't eat at restaurants that have pictures of the food on the menu.
they look like Chinese restaurant menus.
Just,
right?
Yeah, you don't want to go, I want this, I want that. They basically do that so people can just point to it. But
actually, go to restaurants where you don't have to order off the menu. Period. Well, even if they give you a menu,
most of the time you don't. I mean, the real Italians don't.
No, but I mean, most restaurants will give you a menu, but it looks like literally like Chinese food menu, where, you know, it's like 16 pages of stuff, including all the stuff that you're used to hearing, you know, spaghetti bolognese and, you know, eggplant parmesan, which is all fine and good. But the best thing to do is you go to a restaurant, especially a small trattoria kind of place, and you just say to them, what's the special today? What are you preparing today? Yeah. And they're making fresh stuff. You know, if you want the other stuff like, you know, linguine alle vongole, you know, linguine with clams, they'll make that for you. But it might not be the freshest thing or the most diverse thing. I mean, you can probably find better linguine with clam sauce in the States, actually. Yes.
And I would recommend, I mean, always asking usually your concierge, or if you're renting again from VRBO or HomeAway, the owners, ask their recommendations. They're going to give you, hopefully, the hotels might not do this. I don't know. They might, sometimes they have deals with the restaurants, so they don't probably
do it.
It's
like asking a taxi driver in Rome, where do I go to eat? And they'll send you to a tourist trap.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite, if you can find a local, that's always your best bet, obviously, because they know the real good places.
Ask a cop.
Yeah. Exactly. Probably. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
if because if you ask like a cop, and I'm not trying to be facetious, but ask a garbage man, you know, where do they go to eat? Because those guys are going to tell you where to eat really good food and not spend a lot of money. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's no one paying them to tell you to go to that restaurant. You know, you're going to go eat in a place where it's, you know, day laborers having a home-cooked meal for little money.
And usually it's the grandma in the kitchen cooking in the back or whatever. Yeah. It's not some, So the next tip is try to fly as close to your final destination as possible, forgetting the train or car. So what I mean by this, what I mean is if you're flying in to Rome or Milan, say, but your final destination is Puglia, go ahead and book that flight that takes you all the way into Bari or into Venice, if Venice is your final destination, wherever that is. Don't attempt to get off at Rome and get your bags, and then from there try to get on a train or a car to make your next leg. It's just going to save you a lot of trouble. Don't take the train or drive. Fly your next leg. It's just going to be so much easier for you than trying to rent a car and then the tolls, and
you don't
the
have
gas.
To go, you don't have to go through customs.
Exactly. It's just so much easier. But the bags, everything else, you're going to get to your destination a lot faster so you can enjoy it. So basically, again, if you're flying into Rome and then going to another destination, see if you can't add another flight to that leg, and just it's going to be so much easier for you.
And go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, here's a helpful tip, though.
That's the next one. That's my next tip that I think you're doing. But go
about
ahead.
Alitalia.
Yeah.
If you're flying to Italy and you're going to go to multiple destinations and you want to fly from from one city to another city, and if you're going to book your tickets ahead of time from the States, do not go to alitalia.com USA or alitalia.com USA.
Yeah.
Go to the Italian Alitalia site. Now, you might have some trouble figuring out the language.
Use Google Translate, guys. It's
yes.
Not
there. You might actually be able to put in English, but don't put down that you're connecting through the U.S. Put down that you're connecting through Italy. And, you know, we have found sometimes they will charge you, like, from Rome to Bari, €400 to fly if you on the Alitalia U.S. site. But if you go on the Alitalia Italian site, it'll cost you €79.
So that's alitalia.it.
Yes. Right.
So I'll put links to it actually in the show notes for you. So, but that's where you want to go. And it will be in Italian again. But most of the times you can kind of understand. You're picking a date and you're picking a city to city.
It'll say nome, which I think you're going to figure out is name. Cognome is last name.
Yeah.
But I mean, once you fill out the
Once you get to that part, it's easy. But yeah, you'll easily save a couple hundred euros sometimes.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
for each flight.
So definitely.
And per person.
Yeah. Now, but a little caveat to that is, if you're flying from New York all the way through to Bari, be careful then just booking your flight from New York to Rome and then booking a separate flight from Rome to Bari. You don't want to do that sometimes
If you're going to Bari on the same day.
Exactly, because sometimes they will not check your bags all the way through.
Right.
They'll give you a really hard time about it and say, no, you didn't book the tickets together.
Right.
It just depends on
you got to pick up your bags, you got to go through customs, you got to check back in again. That's a real hassle.
I mean, it depends on the person checking you in.
Yeah.
That person, it depends on them. A lot of times, they should and they can book you all the way through, but sometimes they will give you a hard time. So.
And the other thing, when you're flying in Italy, you know, between cities, you know, Alitalia is not the only choice.
No.
You know, there's Ryanair, there's EasyJet. There are other airlines. There's Meridiana. So it's not just Alitalia. And sometimes there are flights, for instance, from Pisa to Bari or vice versa that'll cost you $19. You know, whereas Alitalia, first of all, they won't have a direct flight because everything has to go through Rome or Milan, whereas these other low-cost airlines will have direct flights to what is considered secondary airports for a lot cheaper.
Yes. Well, I will say, just be careful. They do charge you, I don't know what the charge is now, about €50 for per bag.
Yeah, but so, you usually make 19, up for in the differences.
Yeah, it depends. So you have to just take that
and
into consideration.
And the hassle of not having to go through to do multiple stops to get from one city to another.
No, that's true. No, I'm just saying, just be careful with that.
Yeah.
But that kind of goes to my next tip. Bring a portable luggage scale. I recommend this for any traveling. The airlines are getting much stricter about the weight of your bags. So you need to just be aware of that. So pack, especially if you're going to pick up some souvenirs, and especially if you are flying Ryanair. Ryanair can be super, super strict with this. They can be,
but sometimes they don't do anything at all.
But sometimes they can be very strict. Yes. What happened to us? What is the one? Oh, so this kind of goes with that. Another one is if you decide not to take, or even if you decide to take the plane, either if you're taking the plane, bus, train, wherever it is, watch your bags. And do not trust a stranger to watch your bags.
Yes, absolutely not.
We just had one friend who came and visited, and he...
Asked the actual
bus driver to watch his bag full of probably $4,000, $5,000 worth of video and camera equipment. When he came back out, the bag was gone.
And so was the bus.
So, luckily, by the time Paul got there and they talked, did you like hunt down a policeman? I forget what the thing was.
He hunted down a policeman, told him what happened. And I think the policeman knew what the game was. So they called the bus company right away, the central headquarters. And the central headquarters obviously knew what the game was. Mm-hmm. And they contacted the bus driver of the bus that he was on. And the bus driver said, he was coming back in 2 hours, making the round trip. And yes, he had the bag, and he would deliver it to him because the bag was on the bus. Now, when this friend of ours, and I was with him, we waited for the bus to come back. The bus arrives. The driver doesn't know anything about a bag. The bus, pulls over, opens the doors, no bag. Again, the bus driver was saying, "What are you talking about?" When suddenly a man came walking down the sidewalk with his photography equipment and gave it back to him. Now, that guy also worked for the bus company or was a friend of the bus driver. So that was the game, that they give it to someone else. If no one blows the whistle, game over. They keep all the stuff. If someone blows the whistle and the cops know about it, the cops, I think, just call them and say, "Hey, look, quit doing this crap and bring the bag back."
Oh, he's so lucked out.
Oh, my God. So lucked out. So don't be afraid to blow the whistle either.
Yeah, exactly. Find a cop. That's what one of our friends, who's a cop in Amalfi, before he met us, his English has gotten a little better, but he said he only knew two words.
Right.
People, lost or robbed.
Right.
Because when people would come into the police station, it was one of the two things. They were either lost or they were robbed. Right. And that was the only thing he really knew.
And most of these towns, especially the secondary towns, not Rome, Florence, or Venice, because they're just too big and they have so much of that stuff going on. But the secondary towns, the cops really are very helpful, and the cops do want good things to happen to people. So they will help you out. They're not creeps. They're very, very, very helpful.
All right, moving on. Tip number 10, I think, which is get going early. I know you're on vacation, and you probably would love to sleep in and all, and relax. But I highly recommend the mornings in Italy for a couple of reasons. One, again, you'll avoid the tourist crowds if you get up early. The cities, and especially the big cities, so much different early in the morning. I mean, Paul got up one time really early with Logan. Remember when you guys first?
Yes, and we took some amazing. We were in Venice. We got to take the most amazing photographs of Venice with nobody in the squares or in the streets. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. We went out. The light is more beautiful, and the city, you just get to see the city without hordes of tourists. Now, the other thing, though, about this is that in order to get up early, especially the first 2 days, when you're flying over from the U.S. to Italy, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend either getting really drunk on the plane or having a couple of drinks on the plane and take a sleeping pill. make sure you sleep on the plane on the way over. Because if you don't, you have lost an entire night's sleep, which then you will have to make up for it in the next 1, 2, maybe even 3 days.
Exactly.
So you're going to lose a lot of valuable time. Make sure that on that, you know, 9-hour flight, 8-hour flight, whatever it is, that you get at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep on that plane. And if you need to take a sleeping pill, take a sleeping pill.
And then you're ready to go when you get here. So yes. you might have a slightly slow first day, but you're still going to get probably a full day in.
As much as you want to watch crappy movies on the airplane,
no,
or you want to talk to people next to you, turn off the lights, put on your noise-canceling headphones, take a sleeping pill, and say goodnight until you get there.
And you know what? I learned a good trick from Logan, which was you can go to the duty-free. I never thought about doing this way. Go to the duty-free, and because if you don't want to pay for the alcohol on the plane, buy a small bottle. Obviously, you don't need a big bottle unless you really want to get really hammered. But buy a small bottle of alcohol and just open that on the plane.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise you're paying $7-8 per whatever.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Because I do that on the way back from Rome to the U.S. I'll go to one of the little restaurant places in the airport where they also sell wine. So I buy a bottle of wine, a decent bottle of wine, so I don't have to drink box wine on the airplane. They will open the bottle for you at the register. And then on the flight on the way from Italy to the U.S., I have 1 or 2 good bottles of wine to drink with my meal and later on.
And guys, I mean, obviously, whatever's left over, give to the stewards or as a gift, or leave it there for the cleaning crew, whatever, because you're not going to be able, if you have a connecting flight, you're not going to be able to take it through because you go through security again. If you don't have a connecting flight, you'll be fine. You'll exit the airport and you're fine. You just have but just so you know that you'll be caught with it.
They have changed an important rule at customs now, which is up until recently, because of 9/11, you couldn't buy liquids at duty free. Let's say in New York or Atlanta or Miami, and then carry them through. You would land in Rome and then you were going to Bari because you those are carry-ons, but you couldn't do it. Now you can, because they do put them in this hermetically sealed bag so that you can buy liquids in the U.S. and bring them all the way through to your final destination as long as you're going through, without leaving the airport. But, the other thing to remember is that alcohol of any kind, from wine especially to any kind of vodka, scotch, or whatever, it's not always convenient to buy it at duty free. They're actually still ripping you off. Alcohol in Italy is much cheaper than it is in the U.S., so you're actually better off a lot of times, unless you're going to drink it on the plane, to buy whatever alcohol you need once you get here. It's just a lot cheaper.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except for Grey Goose. Grey Goose is really expensive here.
I mean, the other thing, going back to the waking up early too, just to recover that real quick, is that what happens too is you can still get a ton of sightseeing in, and then basically sit down and enjoy a true long Italian lunch
and
without
then,
worrying
and,
about.
And then enjoy a true Italian nap.
Exactly. So it's a matter of that's the way Italians do it. So and that's another tip coming up.
Especially in the middle of summer.
Exactly, because sometimes you're also going to find places that are closed. If you're
not only closed,
afternoon.
But it's so freaking hot. You don't want to be walking around in that sun.
So much better.
Go back to your hotel to take a nap.
Exactly. We're kind of at time, but do you want to keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Number 11, do not exchange your money at the, what do they even call those things?
The exchange place in the airport.
Never, ever. Use an ATM, guys. You're going to get the best exchange rate. So use your ATM card and just find a bank, an ATM, and use that. You're gonna get a much better exchange rate, and it's obviously more convenient because then you're not carrying a bunch of cash around with you because you don't do it at once.
But also, don't do it at your local bank in the States. You know, don't change a lot of your U.S. cash, you know,
to
euro.
No, that's what I'm saying. But when you get here, use your ATM card.
Yes. Bring your ATM card. You know, talk to your bank, see what the best rate is that they're going to give you. You know, less commissions, and just whatever city you're in, you just use your ATM card. And you know, most of them are 250, I think 200-250 euro a day that you can pull out of the ATM.
No, it's about 500. U.S. cash, it's about
It's 250 per transaction. So you might have to do two transactions.
Yeah, and then it might be, so you might have to do 250 and then do another like 150 or something like
that. And if you're going to use credit cards in Italy, do not rely on American Express. I'm sorry to say it, American Express, but most places do not take American Express. It'll take Visa and MasterCard.
That's my very next step. Yeah, you're like...
No,
I was actually saying they don't take an American Express, but also be prepared to pay in cash. Because some places will not take credit cards either, especially some of the restaurants and so forth. So that's part of the whole, the next kind of leads into it. So again, if you exchange at the currency exchange, you're exchanging a whole lot. And then what do you do with all this cash? Do you leave it in your hotel room? Yeah. Do you carry it with you? So if you use your ATM card, you're just getting what you need at the time. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have the cash with you. So if you go out to eat, you have the cash on you. And that's sometimes, a lot of times, obviously what the restaurants prefer. Because, and sometimes it's the only way they can, too. Or they will.
Oh, you know, and if you go up, they'll tell you that their internet isn't working, whatever, their phone connection is working, but that's just an excuse.
Exactly. But Paul's point, Visa or MasterCard, but not American Express, and not Discover.
No, Discover.
It's Visa or an American Express. That's pretty much the only...
No, Visa or MasterCard.
MasterCard, sorry. Shoot. Yes. okay, that was number 12, was paying cash. Number 13... is use Skype and WhatsApp to communicate back home.
WhatsApp isn't used really in America.
I know, but you can still text.
Oh yeah.
To people.
Yeah, but WhatsApp is a great application for your iPhone or your cell phone. It's not used much in the U.S. because I guess we get free messaging right with our plans in the U.S.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, whereas in Italy you don't. So they have this application called WhatsApp. APP that people use to send messages, and you can actually use it to make phone calls.
Oh yeah, I know that.
You can make phone calls on it. And there is a big difference for those of you who don't know. I just found out the hard way between an SMS, which is a digital, I guess, alphanumeric message, and an MMS, which is as soon as you send a photograph. Mm-hmm. By message, you get charged for an MMS, where you don't get charged for an SMS, which is just words.
One is data and one is text, basically.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, guys, I mean, so basically the theory on this is, I don't know why you would need your phone outside of probably where you're staying. You're going to call back home to check in with family and friends when you're at your rental place or your hotel. And most... everybody at those locations has Wi-Fi. Both of these, WhatsApp and Skype, use Wi-Fi to...
As does Facebook Messenger.
Exactly. Facebook Messenger works too. So it's not using any kind of data and roaming, because those, if you get a data roaming plan or a regular international calling plan with your cell phone, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, but you should check with your carrier for an international plan before you leave.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying don't, because you can check with them, but usually in my experience, it costs you an arm and a leg for no reason. You don't need those. You can look into it if you want to, but I'm saying don't use those. Use Skype or WhatsApp. Use the free Wi-Fi at your location to call home. Yes. There's no reason to pay $100 for 1 month of the, like, why would you need your cell phone when you're in the Roman Forum?
Because both with WhatsApp and Skype, obviously, and Facebook, you can make calls on those. You can send audio messages.
Exactly.
And make calls. The other thing that you can also look into is, once you get here, if you have a phone that is what they call jailbroken, you can just switch out your chip. So once you get here, you just buy a chip for a week, whatever it's going to be, and it'll be a lot cheaper.
Yep, exactly. Number 14, This goes back to the ATM card or if you're using credit cards, but let your bank or credit card company know if you're traveling.
Yes.
Because if you do not, you can sometimes be frozen out. They think your card is an identity has been stolen and that you are now, this goes for not just Italy, obviously anywhere, guys.
Anywhere.
But so let them know when you're traveling because you will be denied and then you're going to have to like call back home and see what the problem is and then tell them you're actually traveling. So make sure that you let them know beforehand so there's no issues and that you know you can just use your cards freely. You know, all basically you're just calling them and telling them I'm traveling in Italy between March 17th and March 24th. Just so you know, and they put it in their records. Sometimes you can actually notify it. You can actually just do it all online and let them know. And they just put a little note in there so they know that when they see a charge from Italy, that your identity hasn't been stolen. You're actually traveling.
Speaking of all that, what I just thought of is rental cars.
Okay.
I think the same thing holds true for what we said about earlier for Alitalia.com versus Alitalia.it. If you go to a rental car site in Italy, if you put in, you know, because they'll ask you, where are you a resident of? Put in Italy. Don't put in USA or wherever, whatever country you're coming from. If you put in Italy, because then you can still put in your American driver's license, your American address, and all that stuff if they ask for the address, which they usually don't. But you'll get much cheaper rates if you say that you're actually contacting them from Italy.
Yeah, I thought so I didn't know if that was true or not. I was going to ask
true.
That. Yeah,
it's absolutely true. And, you know, sometimes it's like, $10 a day for a car.
Oh, yeah, it was nothing. When we flew to Pisa last time, Paul and I think it cost us €20 round trip for each of us.
Right, and then €39 for 4 days of a car.
It was crazy. It was like for us to drive would have cost two times that,
because,
if not four times
because,
that to drive the same. And it was like so much easier.
Because don't forget, in Italy, or I think most of Europe, gasoline is not like it is in the U.S.
No, and the tolls, too. The tolls are crazy.
Yeah, tolls are really expensive. And gasoline is easily four times what it is in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Number 16. It goes back a little bit to the getting up early, but be aware, guys, and I think we've talked about this before, that especially in summer, everything closing between 1 and 4 o'clock.
Yes.
So you have to plan accordingly. So do not think, you know, I can go shopping and I'm going to get that great new coat I saw in the window of that store, because when you go back between 1 and 4, they're going to be closed.
Because they go to lunch too.
Exactly. They all go to lunch. They have
Italians
their
Italians are all about eating.
Exactly. And then afterwards they take their nap. They relax and then they go back to work.
When they go back to work, they have to stop for a coffee and a cigarette.
But then they do go back. The stores are open later, so you could go back up until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock usually. So just be aware of that though, and make plans accordingly. A lot of restaurants, obviously, because that's lunchtime, especially in the major tourist places, you will find that. In the smaller places, we were talking about going off the beaten path, like Puglia, you have to be careful even about lunch. In our area, the major tourist places, Trani, Pulignano Mare, those kind of places will have restaurants open, but Terlizzi,
not so
much.
No.
There's just no tourists there. So when there's no tourists, no, there are no lunch places open. Number 17, taxis. If you have to have a taxi, you cannot usually hail a taxi. You have to call a taxi. And then, so just be aware of that.
If there is a taxi available.
Exactly.
In our town, there are no taxis.
No, some people have arrived with a bus to Terlizzi, and they're like, oh, we couldn't find a taxi to your place.
Well,
like,
you know why? Because there
are no taxis in Terlizzi. So just be aware of that. I mean, obviously in Rome with an airport, you're going to find. And again, probably like Florence and obviously Milan.
Right.
But those kind of places you will from the airport. But when you're in the actual town, you have to call a taxi. You're not going to flag one down.
Or you got to find a taxi stand. In the biggest cities, you got to find a taxi stand.
Oh. I have one more. I have to end on one more.
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, no, but that's going to make it.
No, go ahead. Do it.
If you order, this is just because I'm finished with my drink now, but if you order a martini in Italy, you're not going to get an American martini. Just be aware of that. That's my biggest
use thing. Phrases like James Bond.
Exactly. Yeah,
I need a James Bond martini.
But even then, be careful because, well, first off, the normally what they're going to serve you is what? What is it again? What's it? A martini rosso?
Martini bianco.
Yeah. Which is basically a sort of...
it's a sweeter... It has nothing to do with vodka, nothing to do with martini.
It
gives it a gross taste.
But it doesn't even have vodka in it, I think. It's just that rocks usually,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then the other thing they will do sometimes is they think a martini is a mixed drink, and they'll give you two parts vodka, one part vermouth.
Two and two, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. They think it needs to be have a lot of vermouth in it, and it's just like, that's not martini.
That's one of our missions in life here, is teaching people how to make a perfect martini.
Exactly. So I think that covers our tips. If we have missed anything, guys, let us know, please. What episode are we on, Paul? That's a test for you.
17.
Oh, please. This is how much fall is going on. Go to livingvillacapelli.com/33. 33? Yep, episode 33. And that'll take you to the show notes, which have all these tips in there, guy, and links to stuff like the apps. If you missed, you know, if you want a link to the WhatsApp app and all that kind of stuff, and all this stuff, it'll all be spelled out there. And you can find, again, ways to sign up and keep up with us at the newsletter there. You'll see that on the left. If you want to leave us a note or a voicemail, please feel free.
And for those of you who have been asking about our olive oil, which is once again pretty much sold out, there's another shipment coming in a few days. Maybe by the time this runs, it'll be already there.
No, it won't by the time this runs. No.
No.
I know that, no. But hopefully by my birthday.
Yes, which is March 17th. St. Patrick's Day is Stephen's birthday.
Yes, I'm an Irish baby.
No, he's not.
I'm not. But,
but he is now.
But so hopefully that'll be out.
Stephen's going to be 42.
I'm an old man.
Yes, you are.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening.
Buonanotte. Ciao.
See you there, Chief.